Section 7C, Build Your List. So in this section, I'm going to talk to you about building your email list. That's the whole purpose of having a pink spoon, right? Is to actually get people to sign up for your email list. Now, for you younger artists, you may be thinking, hey, but I would rather be using text or Snapchat. And that's valid, but limited. So it may be true that a younger audience is going to be very responsive to a text or a Snapchat. You're limited in what you can do, what you can communicate in that medium. It's a very short, quick medium. If you send a lot of information, people are going to get annoyed, right? So it's okay to collect the cell phone information or Snapchat information on your email sign up and let people know that they are giving you permission to contact them through text or Snapchat if they provide that information to you. However, the real money is in email. And trust me, your audience uses email. If they're students of any kind, they're going to use email. If they are in the corporate workplace, they're going to be using email. So don't worry that this won't work. Email is critical, and email is really the gold mine. It's where the income is going to come from. So the whole point of having a pink spoon is for you to build your subscriber list, your fan base, your email list. And the initial goal is to reach the tipping point of 1,000 email list subscribers. Something really magical happens when you hit that number of 1,000. Money starts to flow. Okay, so you don't want to stop at 1,000, but that's your first milepost goal. Now, it can take a month or a year, depending on you, depending on how hard you work to build your email list. If you're spending time several hours a week, you're going to get there a lot faster than if you're only spending time a couple times a month. Okay? It does take time. It does take effort. It does take focus. And it's worth it because this is where the money really starts to flow. It must be part of your regular business operations. In other words, your ongoing regular marketing methodology needs to include list building activities. I'm going to get into quite a few kinds of list building activities in a minute, but it must be part of your regular business operations. So make sure you build that into your schedule. And finally, use a mix of short-term and long-tail list-building strategies. So in other words, there are some things that are going to take not a lot of time to set up, and they can work ongoing. And there are some things that are, you know, it's a one-hit, and hopefully you get a bunch of people signing up. And other things are, you know, going to generate over the long term. So you want to have a nice mix of those things. What are you going to need? Before you even begin this, you must know your niche, know where they're hanging out, know who they are, know what they want, need, and desire. What are their problems? How do they self-identify? What kind of language do they use to describe their wants, needs, and desires? You need to have done all of the early step research before you get to this place, because you need this information in order for your list building strategies to be effective for the least amount of energy, time, and money. And you also must have in place a subscriber service such as MailChimp, I use Robly, Constant Contact, Mad Mimi. There's a million of them, right? If you use Bandzoogle to host your website, they have their own list process. I wouldn't use Reverb Nation because, again, with Reverb Nation, you don't own that list. They do. So you do want to be a bit careful, but you must have a subscriber service in order to do this. Do not be sending emails through your regular ISP from your regular email. It's trouble. Okay, I recommend against it. So you want to have a subscriber service in place. And you can start with the free level at MailChimp or whatever, but this is an investment in your business and you need to have this in place. Finally, you want to build with integrity. And what do I mean by that? First of all, everything you send by email needs to be of real value to your niche. And we're going to get into that in quite a bit more detail in the next chapter. You must comply with canned spam laws, and that's why you want to invest in a newsletter service or email list provider like MailChimp or Constant Contact or Robly or one of those, because that allows you to comply with canned spam laws. And the new laws in Europe makes it even more important. So if you're going to be building your list in Europe, you really have to be careful. It can cost you a lot of money and headache if you violate these laws and get caught doing it. And finally, just don't ever sell your list. It's not worth the money. It violates the trust of your fans if you sell their names to someone else. So I recommend against it. People do it. I recommend against it. People are trusting you with their email contact information. And if you sell that information, I believe you're violating that trust. It's not worth it. So I am going to give you a baker's dozen of strategies to build your list. You don't need to do all of them. Pick a couple, try them out, see how it goes. Go for the lowest hanging fruit first, the easiest ones first. But all of these will have value over time. And so you might start with the easiest ones first, but then build your way up to the ones that take a bit more effort, energy, and work or technology information. But all of these methodologies are tested and work to build your list. So strategy number one is to interview slightly famous experts of interest to your niche. What I mean by experts are people who have knowledge and some cachet within your niche, that they're a known name within your niche. People are going to recognize the name so that when you announce it to your niche, they're going to be like, oh man, yeah, I'm interested in that. What I mean by slightly famous, you don't want someone who is really super famous because they're probably not going to say yes. And they're probably going to be a lot harder to get in touch with. You're going to have to go through more gatekeepers to reach them. At some point, if you do a whole series of these, you may build enough recognition within your niche to be able to reach out to those people, but you're not going to start with those people. So you want to start with people who are known as experts in your niche, but aren't too well known, aren't too famous, okay? And so here are the steps for how to do this. First, you want to create a short list of people. Now, if you've been researching your niche, you should already have some ideas of names for this. And if you haven't been researching your niche, stop right now and go back and do some research because you need to know these things in order to use this process. So first, create a short list. Then research the names of those people on that short list using, of course, Google. And the things that you want to identify is, do they have a way for you to contact them? In other words, on their website, do they have a contact page with a phone number or an email or even an email form so that you can actually contact them? You also want to look and see if they are currently promoting or selling something. Do they have a book? Do they have a video program? Do they have a pink spoon? Right? Because if they are currently promoting something or selling something, they are going to be more likely to be interested in this as an opportunity to promote themselves. Also, you want to find out if they have an affiliate program, because if the work that you do to promote the interview actually gets them sales, it would be nice if you could get a little cash on the back end. I would say if they don't have an affiliate program, that's not a deal breaker. If they have a book, that they're selling via Amazon, you can join the Amazon affiliate program and get paid that way. And you could decide not to worry about getting paid at all. But if they have an affiliate program, what that says is that they understand this whole concept of internet marketing and social media marketing, and they're probably going to be even more open to being interviewed as a way to promote themselves. You then want to craft a templated email to invite them to be interviewed. And you want to do this because you're going to invite more than one person, and you don't want to have to be recreating the wheel every time you send out an invitation, right? You want to have a template that you can just copy and paste and then personalize and then send, right? So that it's specific to them, but the majority of it has already been written. It's going to save you a ton of time. You write it once, you use it over and over again. But before you actually start sending out that email invite to be interviewed, you want to create a sign up for the interview pink spoon. You want to have all your ducks in the row so when someone says yes to being interviewed, you're really ready to go. But let's say then that they do say yes, then you want to create the interview using Zoom. I recommend Zoom if you're going to do a video. Some people do a written interview form, meaning you email them the interview questions, they write their responses, and then that ends up being a blog post or a white paper. It really depends on the person. That I think is more work intensive for them than sitting down with you and being interviewed and letting them just speak off the cuff for the interview and recording that interview. It's something you can negotiate with the person, and you might offer them both ways to do it because it'll depend on what they're more comfortable with. If they're really a big writer, the written interview might be more up their alley. If they're a big speaker, the spoken interview is probably going to be better for them. And then, of course, once you've got that scheduled with them, then you want to promote it via social media and your current email list. And of course, you want to ask them to also promote it to their email list. You see why this is so useful. One of the advantages is if you're interviewing someone who has cachet within your niche, that offers you instant credibility in your niche because you were able to get them to agree to do this interview. And so that gives you instant credibility with your niche. They may be willing to promote to their list, and that could be huge. If they are an expert within the niche, they could have 20,000 to 30,000 people on their email list. And that puts you in front of 20,000 to 30,000 people you wouldn't otherwise be in front of. And as I already mentioned, there's the passive income possibility of the affiliate program. And this can also become a series, right? You could interview 5 or 10, over the next year, experts in your niche, and that can become a product in and of itself that you sell. Okay? So that's strategy number one. Strategy number two is to write an article on a current event or topic of interest to your niche market. So here are the steps. First, you want to do some initial research of article submission sites. And Google is your friend. The more niche specific those article submission sites are, the better for you. But there are a ton of places that accept article submissions, and a lot of them have multiple topics. So you would want to look and see if they do topics that would be of interest to your niche and do a little research about how much traffic they get, that kind of thing. Frankly, just do a Google search on this, and I'm going to talk quite a bit more about this specifically in the workbook as well. Then you want to set up a submission system. So let's say you find 6 or 10 different possible submission sites. You want to set up a system for doing those submissions. And it might be as simple as a checklist on like Trello or something, but the purpose for setting up a submission system is so that once you've got it up and running, you can delegate it to someone else to do, because you don't need to be doing this, right? This is not something that takes your expertise in order to do. This is something that's easily given away, okay? I do this quite a bit, and I have an assistant who does it. Now, I did it myself for the first 6 months so that I really knew exactly what I was doing, and I could create instructions that a five-year-old could follow, but the submission system will help you do it with more consistency and quicker, but it will also really help you delegate it to the next person. Then, of course, you want to write an article. I recommend somewhere between 500 and 700 words. The submission site may have rules about how many words, about the length of submissions they'll accept, but here's a basic format. An intro paragraph, three main bullet points of points that you want to make. Each main bullet point can be a paragraph or two, and a conclusion that includes a call to action. You also want to create your author bio, which is who you are, what your relationship to this niche or this topic is, what's your expertise in this area. And then, of course, obviously, a link to your website, because on your website is going to be the call to get your pink spoon. Okay? So this drives traffic to your website, and since you've got the pink spoon ready for them to sign up on your website, that drives traffic to your pink spoon, and once they're on your pink spoon, they're in your email list. Okay? Strategy number three has a couple of pieces to it. One, you want to create an email signature that drives traffic to your website, but also drives traffic to your pink spoon. So in your email signature, you can say, you know, warm regards, signed Deborah, certified business coach, the arts and entertainment industry, serving da 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 da, check out, you know, https://www.mywebsite.com. Okay, but then you can use a question which highlights the pain or the problem and a link to the answer, which is your pink spoon solution. Okay, so instead of just sign up to receive my free e-course or my free article or, you know, whatever, you want to engage them in the benefit that they're going to receive by signing up, meaning the answer or the solution to their problem that your pink spoon specifically and uniquely solves. When you use your URL, make sure that you capitalize keywords when you're typing it. It's not going to matter in the link, but it does make it easier to read, and it make sure that they are reading it the way you want them to read it. There are just a whole ton of URLs that are unfortunate in how they're read or how they could be misread. And so if you capitalize, use initial caps on the keywords in your URL, it will make it easier to read. So for example, when I type out artistsedge.com, I capitalize the A in artist and the E in edge, so it's really clear. You can also use your URL as your email address. So if you email me, it's Deborah@artist-edge.com or Deborah@deborahrussellcoaching.com. So every time someone sees my email address, they're also seeing my website address. And so that promotes your website, and that will drive traffic. Whereas if your email is @gmail.com or @yahoo.com or something like that, if you don't use the @URL on your email, you are missing a huge opportunity. So that's strategy number three. Here's strategy number four. You want to find and subscribe to 3 to 5 e-zines in your niche. Now, hopefully, you've already done that as part of the research you did in step two, figuring out their wants, needs, and desires, right? Because you're researching your niche, and so you're reading publications that are directed to your niche. But here's yet another reason to do this. For one thing, it can give you lots of ideas of things to blog or write about. It can help you figure out who the experts are in your niche, right? It will add confidence that you're on the right track, meaning if these e-zines are writing about the same problems that you've identified for your niche, that gives you confirmation that you're on the right track. And like I said, it gives you ideas for experts or possible joint venture people in the future, meaning you might be able to find sponsors for your business through this because they're targeting the same niche that you're targeting. Okay? That's strategy four. So here's strategy five. You want to invite them to share with others via transactional emails. What are transactional emails? They're emails that say, "Thank you for signing up for my free article about X, Y, and Z," or "Thank you for subscribing to my newsletter," or "Thank you for purchasing my album or my tickets," or whatever. It's basically the thank you pages and the thank you emails. And right then, you want to strike while the iron is hot because they've already bought something from you. They've signed up for something from you. They're already engaged. This is a highly underutilized method. You want to invite them to share you with others. They liked you enough to go ahead and try this out. You want to invite them to invite other people to try this out. It takes advantage of their already existing engagement. And here are some places where you can do this. You can do it on the thank you pages for purchasing, email confirmations for purchases and affiliate signups, order information, reminders. So, for example, if they've bought tickets to a concert and you're reminding them of the concert, you can also ask them to bring friends with them, and here's a link to buy more tickets. Okay? Don't come alone. Bring your friends. Here's the link to buy more tickets. Okay? What are some of the advantages of this? Well, for one thing, it gives you social credibility with their circle of influence because they're recommending you. You're not doing it, they are. It also allows you to access their circle of influence. You know, the 200 people they know or they're friends with on Facebook or they have following them on Twitter. You know, if they've got a big circle of influence, even better. But even if they've just got a small circle of influence, but they have an impact on that circle of influence, that can absolutely expand your reach geometrically, especially if you are doing it every single time. So that's strategy number five. Strategy number six is to collect testimonials about your pink spoon and then share about them on your website, in your social media, in your newsletter. Share the testimonials. So here's some steps for how to get those testimonials. First of all, if people send you an email unsolicited telling you how much they loved your pink spoon, then you reply saying, "Oh, thank you so much. That made my day. Can I use your beautiful words as a testimonial?" You might want to offer to edit it so that it's, you know, really tight and says what you want it to say and get their approval to edit it. When you talk to them and you get their approval to use it, make sure you find out how they want their name presented. If they have a website they want you to link to, so you give them a little link love gratitude for their testimonial. It also means that
they're a real person. So if someone reads that testimonial, they're like, oh, this is a real person. She didn't just make this up. You can also specifically ask for testimonials as part of your Pink Spoon content or even a follow-up email. You send them the white paper, you wait a couple of days, and you send them a reminder to read it and ask for a testimonial. Strategy number 7, blog commenting on high traffic blogs that serve your niche. So here are your steps. First, do a Google search for blogs in your niche. You know, find out where they are. And again, you may already have done this in step 2. Hopefully you've saved them to your Evernote, or you made a swipe file to conserve that research so you don't have to do it again. But if you didn't do it during step 2, you definitely want to do it now. Find the blogs that target and speak to your niche specifically. The way you identify if they're high traffic is through alexa.com. And of course, this link will also be in the resources and in your workbook. Strategy number 8 costs a little money. This is pay-per-click. That's what PPC stands for. Pay-per-click advertising on Facebook or Google AdWords. Here are your steps. First, identify your budget. How much money can you spend per week or per month doing this pay-per-click advertising, either on Facebook or Google AdWords, or frankly, any other social media that accepts advertising? It really depends on where your target niche is hanging out. If they're hanging out on Twitter, you want to use the Twitter ads. Or Instagram, you want to use the Instagram ads, right? Wherever they're hanging out, you would use that medium for your advertising. I strongly recommend finding an expert to help you. People can waste a ton of money doing this incorrectly and not have it serve them. So you really want to find someone who understands and does Google advertising or advertising on the social media that you're choosing. Okay? It can be a complicated thing. You want to do some A/B testing to find out what's going to work best for you. You want to work with someone who can do the graphic design, who understands what works within that particular social media. Strategy number 9 is to join associations, LinkedIn groups, Facebook groups that serve your niche. And again, you may have already done this a bit in step 2, but now you're going to really make this start to pay. So here are the steps for this strategy. First, you want to do the search or research for those groups, confirm that they're active and have real engagement, real conversations going on, not just self-promotion. And by the way, for most of these groups, you do not want to promote yourself. It will get you kicked out of the group. Find out what are the rules for the group and follow them, okay? You want to set aside some significant blocks of time to work these groups because it does take some time and effort. Then you're going to comment and engage on the groups, right? So first start with reading what people are posting and start commenting, start adding your own resources, be of service, or post your own questions, your own problems that are niche specific, and engage others who step up to answer your questions and your problems. Then you're going to set up a post-article promotion system. Once you've engaged and they know who you are, you can start to promote your posts and your articles. Now notice, again, you're still not marketing, but on your posts and your articles, you are also driving traffic to your website. So this drives traffic to your article, which has an author bio with a link to your website, or this drives traffic to your post that's on your website. So all of this directly or indirectly drives traffic to your website. Now, what this promotion system probably looks like is a checklist. I will tell you that I have a 17-day promotion system. Every time I write a post, I am published on someone else's blog or in someone else's magazine with an article that I've written. Every time someone quotes me in an article they've written, those articles then run through this promotion system. So each day I am posting to a new place, maybe 3 to 5 different places a day. Those might be Facebook groups, they might be LinkedIn groups. I certainly am posting to my website, to even if it's not a post on my website, I'll post a blog post saying, hey, look, I was published here, go check it out, right? So again, that's new content. It also raises your profile with whoever published your article. They're seeing that you're helping to promote that article, and they will love you more and be more open to publishing you again. So those are the kinds of things that go into your promotion system. Why do you want a system? Again, it will save you time and energy doing it. And then once you've got it polished and you like it and it's working for you, it becomes much easier to delegate and give away. Okay, here we are, strategy 10. I told you it was a baker's dozen, so we've still got a few more to go. Strategy 10. And again, I don't want you to feel overwhelmed. You're not going to do all of these all at once. Pick a couple, get them up and running, and then come back to this and pick a few more. You can create a gift upon signing up, meaning not only do they get your pink spoon, whatever that happens to be, but if they sign up today or this week or this month, they will get an additional gift upon signing up. What could that gift be? Well, let's see. Since your article or your pink spoon is information targeting the niche, then the additional gift could be a song download. So that not only gets them to your website, they will discover who you are, but then they also get a free taste of your music. Just one option for the sign up. It could be a free download of the interview that you did with some expert. It could be a short free trial subscription to your interview podcast series. Okay? There's a lot of things you can do with this. This is further incentive to sign up for your Pink Spoon offering. It can also give you a time frame incentive or urgency for them to sign up today. If they sign up today and only for this limited time, will they get X? Again, just like with your Pink Spoon, you don't want it to be something that costs you a lot of time and energy. And you always want to give away something that has intrinsic value and ideally has an easy upsell to your paid products, which is why I was suggesting that it could be something that will lead them to something that they would actually spend money on, okay? Whether that's your music or your podcast series or a book or whatever. So that's strategy number 10. Guess what? I've got a strategy number 10A because it just wasn't enough. This is specifically for those of you who play live shows. You want to create a giveaway incentive at your live shows for people to sign up on your newsletter. So here are the steps. First, you want to create sign-up cards, and this is super easy. You want to create a sign-up card that's like 3x5. You can put them maybe 6 to a page. Then you take them over to Staples, have them print them on cardstock, and then cut them for you. So they'll cut them down to size for you. So then you've got these sign-up cards. What do you want on the sign-up cards? You want a space for their name, their email. I also recommend, and you can say when you announce the giveaway that their name and their email is required for them to win. But you can also have them put their zip code. You can ask for a cell phone number or an Snapchat if you want to use text or Snapchat to promote your stuff. And then make sure that you have a disclaimer underneath that by filling out the cell phone or the Snapchat information, they are giving you permission to text them or send them a Snapchat. You can also put an invitation to join your street team and, you know, say they need to give you their phone number if they're interested in doing the street team thing. That's a great way to find out who among your fans are really committed to you. These are the people who are going to become your lifetime fans and are going to be willing to do work for you. They're going to be the ones that you might give away some of, or delegate some of these promotion activities, but it primarily identifies people who love you and are willing to put some time and energy behind promoting you. Then you pass them out, or you put them out on tables or under chairs at your show, depending on the show and the venue. You're going to want to talk to the venue owner first and make sure this is cool with them. But if there are seats, you can put them on the seats or under the seats. If there are tables, you can put them on the tables with pencils or pens. If neither of those things are true, if it's like a club type atmosphere, you can get one of your volunteers to just walk around among the audience and have them hand out the cards for them to sign up and make sure that they understand that this is to win something. Then throughout the first half of your show, you want to let the audience know about the drawing at the break. Make sure that they know that they've got these cards to fill out. Have a bowl or something at the front of the stage or at your merch table for them to turn in the cards on the break. Have your volunteers walk around with the bowl to pick up the cards so that you collect the cards, and then you do a drawing at the beginning of your second set. And that way, they're filling out the cards during your first set and on the intermission break, and then you do the drawing at the beginning of your second set, which also keeps them there through the break. You know, during the break, sometimes you lose audience. But if they've signed up for this drawing, they're not leaving. So it's also a way to keep them there. Collect the sign-up cards, draw one to win a t-shirt or some other merchandise, a free CD, a t-shirt, a bumper sticker, whatever kind of merchandise you're selling at the back table, one of those things for free. That's strategy 10A. Strategy 11 is to create a psst invite everywhere, meaning you're inviting people to sign up for your Pink Spoon everywhere. Every page of your website, your Facebook fan page, your Twitter profile, have the sign up form embedded wherever you can. So in other words, you can have a link to the sign up form, and MailChimp or any of these companies will make that really easy. But what's even better is to grab the embed code. And what that'll look like once you put it in on your website is it will actually have a place for them to type their email, type their name, type whatever other information you want to gather, and hit submit, and then they're signed up. What does that psst mean? It's basically saying, psst, while you're here, be sure to sign up for the free, whatever your Pink Spoon is, okay? Strategy number 12 is to pay for advertising. Again, this one costs a bit of money in niche-specific trade publications, association newsletters, which will tend to cost quite a bit less, banner ads on association websites, if they allow that, those kinds of things. These are more cold kinds of marketing because you're just getting looks. And you're not paying per click for most of them. You're just paying for exposure. But if it's niche specific, that can put you in front of your niche in a really nice way. The other thing you can do is if your association have conferences, You can get an ad in their conference book, you know, whatever they're giving away. If they have a bag that they're giving away, very often you have an opportunity to have an advertisement there. There's a lot of different ways you can do that. So what are the steps? Primarily, it's doing some research and finding out what's it going to cost for 6 months of advertising. You want a minimum of 6 months because this kind of advertising takes repetition before you're going to see results. This is much more of a long tail kind of thing. You want to find out how many subscribers they have and make sure that it is a significant number. You want to figure out where your ad will be placed and how much exposure that's going to give you, how many issues you'll appear in. If they only put out one thing a year, that's going to be less useful than if they put out a monthly newsletter or a monthly magazine that you then get your advertising in. And you also want to find out what type of ad do they allow. Is it text only? Do they allow graphics? What sizes? How much does it cost? All of that stuff. You want to do that research first, then decide your budget and choose your initial placement. And again, this is going to take some research and you need to track your results. So you might want to use a link that is specific to that advertising so that you can actually track how much traffic you're getting from that advertising. You can give them a coupon code to get something at a discount. Again, that gives you the ability to track because you can track the coupon code. You just want to make sure that there's a way to track your results so that you know whether or not it's worth the money. What is your return on investment? You're going to test different designs, different verbiage to find out what works best for your niche. It might take some experimenting. And then once you find out what works, take that learning and use it to inform everything else, your website, your blogging, your articles. Find out what works with that niche and then use that everywhere. All right, here's your baker's dozen, your strategy number 13. Blog on your site using niche-specific keywords. Here are the steps. Number one, research your niche-specific topics, issues, and problems. Again, all of this research is necessary for these kinds of strategies to be effective. Create an editorial calendar, a minimum of one time a month. The more you blog, the more traction, the more excitement you're going to get on Google, the more things you'll have to promote using your promotion systems. But I understand, you know, time is precious. And if you're not really a writer, doing something once a week like all of these blog people recommend is probably not realistic. But at minimum, you want to do it once a month. So if you create an editorial calendar, what that does is that makes a lot of decisions in advance. When are you publishing? What is the topic for that month? Is that a holiday month? Is there a day that month that is specific to your niche? If your niche is fishing, you know, is there a day this month that is the catfish day or something, right? So whatever those kinds of fake holidays are, you want to make use of them in your editorial calendar. Then, of course, create the blog posts. And I recommend doing this, you know, for 3 or 4 days, spend a bunch of time writing posts. So you've got, I don't know, 6 to 10 posts ready to go. If you're using a WordPress website, you can not only have them written, you can have them up on your blog and have them scheduled to publish in advance. So you can be publishing even if you're on the road or even if you're really busy or even if you got sick that month or whatever, this is all set up in advance. So you want to create blog posts, 300 to 500 words, using keywords and phrases, using the white hat SEO methodology that I talked about in the last section. Then promote those posts to your social media groups using step 9, and of course, a request for them to share your posts out. You want to notify your existing email list that you've got a new post with an invitation for them to share. And finally, make sure that you have a social media share plugin on your website to make it stupid easy for people to share. You also want to have those share buttons on your newsletter, which most of the newsletter providers make really easy to do. It's a click and drag to drop in your social media information for them to just send out. Okay? Now, once you've decided which of these strategies you're going to start with, you need to create systems. So start with one method first and create a system that you run yourself until you're really super happy with it. Then document that system and give it away to an assistant or a VA or even a really committed fan volunteer. Don't try to do everything. It's better to do one or two strategies with consistency than to try to do too many and not follow through. Okay?